We were talking about spiritual growth last time. We started off in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And we're going to read a number of other scriptures. And I'm going to kind of just jump back a little bit. And we're going to talk about the levels of spiritual growth. But before that, we want to just kind of take a little bit of a, you know, basic foundation on seven principles of spiritual growth. Seven principles of spiritual growth, where you should be growing in, the areas of which you should be growing in. So we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and 1 and 2 for our scripture. And we'll add on a few other scriptures in relationship to what we call spiritual growth. So it says here in the New Living Translation, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kind unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Everybody say, full experience. So you want the full experience of growing up in the Lord. You want the full experience of being in the family of God. And you don't want to just be halfway, you know, I got my feet and I'm born again, but you're all beat up. You know, just barely getting up, one eyelid open, you know, just dragging your leg around, you know, trying to get up in the morning, hoping that the devil doesn't see you. You know, and so we want a full, you know, growth. You know, we want to just be ready to rock. We get up in the morning. So many Christians fail to grow up spiritually to their full potential and to experience their salvation in its fullest. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I have come to give life. Life is Zoe, Z-O-E, the God type or the God kind of life. So we have a lot to go yet. The God kind of life, God wants us to enjoy the God kind of life. So if we're just experiencing some things, we're not really enjoying life the way we should, and we're always just getting over a problem or just going through a problem or I'm talking about just really struggling every day. So there's a time we have to walk on top over those areas and become more, you know, living on the victory side instead of just struggling every day. So instead of struggling with your carnal activity or carnal behaviors, which gets us into trouble, or worldliness, or people who do that never fully resemble who they actually are in Christ. They're living below the standard of which God wants them to. In order to develop in our spiritual walk, we need to learn some basic areas of spiritual growth. And so let's look at seven foundations or seven areas that we all need to grow in or develop in. And so God wants you to grow up, as we read in our scripture here, in opening scripture, in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, like newborn babies desire the milk of the word, that we may grow up, that we may grow in him. We looked at a scripture last time in Philippians chapter 4, I believe, is our 5:15 and 4:15. It says that, can we get that up there, Philippians chapter, I think we read that last time we were together. And it says here, Ephesians 4:15, the King James Version. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Into him in all things, which is the head, or Jesus is the head. It says here, even Christ. We're the body of Christ on the earth. Nothing happens without us. God needs our participation in order for his will to be manifested here in this world. God wants us to align our lives into what he wants to do. And we'll never learn how to follow God unless we do this, unless our mind is straightened out and our hearts are right. Now let's go to this scripture. Ephesians 4:15, let's read it in the New Living Translation, please. The New Living Translation gives us a hint of what the point is in terms of spiritual growth, why God wants us to grow spiritually. And instead, we will speak the truth in love, grow in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So we need to resemble Jesus more and more. The point of spiritual growth is that we look more, we resemble more like Jesus. Amen? So, you know, that's why we grow spiritually, not because we want to flex our spiritual muscles and we can prophesy. You don't need to, you know, be spiritually mature to have a talent spiritually. God gives us talents and we use them graciously, effectually, by developing in the Scripture, in the Word. So that we need to resemble Jesus, that's the point of spiritual growth. So when we're acting out, you know, I'm not sure what sin to mention because I don't want to, you know, point at anybody. But when we sin, when we get into some kind of activity that doesn't resemble Jesus, then that really, really reveals to us that this maybe is an area we need to grow up. So there are seven areas which we propose from the Scriptures that we need to grow up in. These areas will help us in our daily walk. Now let's go to Romans chapter 12 that's coming up in my spirit, not in my notes right now, so I just wouldn't want to hit there. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, let's read the King James for now. Hallelujah. Are you still here this morning? Or are you gone home already? Well, after that third song, I was out of here. Okay, so let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So the whole point of spiritual growth is that we resemble Jesus, we look like Jesus, we be more like Jesus, like the lights that's turned down here. Okay, so I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now he's talking about brethren, he's talking about church people. By the mercies of God, thank you, the mercies new every day, that you, everybody say you. That's the man on the inside he's talking about, the spirit man, that you present your body. You know what? You have a body. And your body wants to do all kinds of things, even after you're born again. You ever notice that? I think it was about 2 weeks after I was born again. I was just gloriously born again, and I just wanted to serve Jesus every way. I want to give my body to Jesus. But after 2 weeks, it kind of drained out. I still want to do those other things. I wanted to act out, pig out, whatever it was. So it says here that you present your bodies. So after you're born again, you have to do something with your body. You know, your tongue is part of your body. You ever notice that? Your tongue, that means you don't say whatever you want to say. You don't always speak your mind if you want to. Because it might not be appropriate. It might be true, because the Bible says, we just finished reading Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love. You know? And some people say, well, that's my personality. I'm more prophetic. I just say what I want to say, whatever I want to say in my mind. I just say it. I'm just like that. No, you're stupid. Because you could get into trouble, right? You lose friends that way, right? So we need to learn to, you know, be nice. Okay? So, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Nobody likes sacrificing. That means your body is going to cry out once in a while. I want that fifth hot dog. No, you just say, no, I want to go for a smoke. You can tell your body, listen, body, I brought you here. You're going to stay here for a while. Right? Whatever it is, you know, you could talk about other spiritual things as well, like gossiping. Right? That's an area we could grow. We could gossip more, you know, gossip about Jesus. No. So, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, now he's talking about another part. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say, your mind. So he's talking about your mind. You have a mind. You ever notice? You have a mind. And your mind will do all kinds of things and thinks all whatever it wants to think. Even after you're born again, your mind has to be harnessed and it has to be reprogrammed to think like God. Right? So we have to do that. We have to download through the scriptures, download the word in us so that we can think like Jesus. Even though, remember that thing that says, what would Jesus do? So this is what we have to do. So renew our mind. So we have a body, we have a mind. But ye, he's talking about the spirit man. The spirit, soul, and body. That's what he's talking about here. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So when we begin to do something with our bodies and do something with our mind, we take authority over that, then we can follow God's perfect plan. We want that. We want to follow God's plan. Amen? For our lives. And so this is what we want to do. And so we want to give you six principles. I was going to cut it down to five. Seven principles in areas where you might want to think about growing in. So let's go to that. And then we're going to talk about somewhere along the line this year, the characteristics of identifying where your spiritual growth is. Well, if you need to do that. So I think you could do that. So God wants all of us to grow. As we mentioned, our aim is to be like Jesus. And we need to aim to develop in every area of our lives. And we mentioned the part of us that is born again is our spirit, not our bodies. Our bodies are not born again. One day we'll get a brand new body. 1 Corinthians 15 says, one day when Jesus shows up, bam, we'll have a brand new body. And we can just do a lot of things with that body. Okay? So let's go to a couple of more scriptures that support this idea of spiritual growth. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, two scriptures, verse 14 and 15. These are scriptures that you could use with the idea that God wants us to grow. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. We're going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, then we'll be no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Jesus, who is the head of the body of the church. So we want to use that in line with Hebrews 5, chapter 12 to 14. Hebrews chapter 5, 12 to 14, and we're going to also read this in the New Living Translation. You have been believers for so long. So like, Paul was going, you guys, you're so long, you've been here for so long. Why haven't you learned this? So he's saying, you have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teachers, or teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. You know, of course, babies cannot eat solid food. You never see a baby with, teeth, born again. They're born and just have teeth. They're chewing gum, whatever. And so babies don't have teeth. They take time. So someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. And verse 15, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have their skill recognize the difference between right and wrong. So here's the thing about it. When you're spiritual growth, you're growing in spiritual your spiritual life, you know how to make choices of right and wrong choices as a Christian. And you can do that. We call this term discernment, right? We call it discernment. Now, you can be spiritually discerning intellectually, just naturally by having information, but also you can be keen spiritually as well on the inside of you to find out what God's telling you on the inside. And no one's talking to you. You just know by the Holy Spirit He's speaking to you. So these people, apparently, in Ephesians, Hebrews, they still needed the basics. And the Bible says that Paul said they should have been far ahead spiritually. So we can all relate to that ourselves. And we all know people around us that we could say, you need some growth, you know, but don't do this. People know when they need growth. We were talking about that last night, my wife and I. We said, hey, you know, I was pointing to her and telling her something, but I realized I was pointing to myself, too. We're talking about spiritual growth. So we all need growth. Every one of us, we can never get to a place where we say, oh, I never have to renew my mind again. You know? Or say, I've done all the praying I have. I've given all the love. I'm just not going to love anymore. And I've given enough love. I was laughing at a song I have on Spotify. I just put on my Spotify the other day on my television. I downloaded some songs. Old 70s came up, 80s came up. And there was a song, it says, from a band in the 70s. It says, I'm all out of love. I can't live without you. That's such a stupid song. But the melody is good. So I started singing it. Well, you never run out of love. I mean, the love of God is endless, right? How many of you remember those songs? We're still playing them Saturday morning. I'm out of love. I'm so without you. Whatever. I can't go on. Oh, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't sing those songs here. Maybe that we should learn that song next week for all the undeveloped ones. Okay, these people apparently were still baby Christians. You know, baby Christians, as they get older, they're called carnal people. They're called carnal Christians, right? So at a certain point, if you don't go to church, you know, church is essential. And pastors are essential because pastors carry an anointing that you need in your life. Churches are an area where you need to come to so that you need to grow. You can't grow without coming to church the way you should be growing. And you can't grow without a pastor the way you should be growing. Yes, you can grow in other areas, turn down, you know, download different things, and you can grow and develop. But the way you should be growing, you're not going to be growing because God has developed a program for you. So there's a spiritual component to that. So these people were so infant in their development spiritually, they didn't know how to make choices. Hello? They didn't know how to make choices. Sometimes it's obvious what kind of choice we could make for different areas. And so people ask you different things. So, hey, when you're spiritually mature, more mature, you know how to make choices. And we're going to show you what are the marks of a mature Christian. What does the Bible say about it? So let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says those Corinthians were still babies who needed to know how to discipline their nature. They were gifted spiritually, but that wasn't a mark of their spiritual growth. Because you can have gifts, you know, God can give you gifts, and it doesn't mean that you're spiritually mature and you can use them right. So they had to grow, and they lacked the wisdom of God at this point. Let's go and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, the New Living Translation. Now, this is our third scripture that tells us that we need to grow up spiritually, and we're going to show you those seven ways or the seven areas where we need to grow in. So, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't speak to you as I would to spiritual people. Now, these were Christians, and consequently, they should have been spiritual. If you read the Corinthian, you know, story or the whole account of the Corinthian church, you would think that it should be the most spiritual one because they had all kinds of gifts going on. Because Paul said in chapter 1, they came behind in no gift. They lacked in no spiritual gift. They were prophesying. They were praying in tongues. They had healing. They had all kinds of stuff going on in their lives. In fact, when Paul started the church, there was such demonstration of power, such great power, that it kind of continued on and on and on for a while. And so he says here, I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you weren't ready for anything stronger. You're still aren't ready. You still aren't controlled by you're still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? So Paul is comparing them like they're born again, but they're actually resembling someone who's not ever been born again. And so we, if we digress, stop doing the things that's going to be good for us, say for instance, we stop going to church, hang around with Christians, we stop reading our Bible, stop praying, stop worshiping, and stop, you know, our spiritual goals. You know, you can't just stop and stay there. No, you regress. You digress. And so what happens to people when they think they can, they're the only one in the world that can do this, just them. They found out how to do this. Everybody else can go on and grow, but I'm going to stay right here, and I'll just be the same. I'll maybe just come back in 2 weeks or 5 years later. No, you just go back and back and back. Everybody knows that, but we don't always fully acknowledge it. And when it happens to us, all of us can happen to us. Every one of us. Every one of us. There's not anybody here that has this problem. And that's why renewing the mind is something that's continual. Spiritual growth is continual. It never stops. So just when you think you arrive, something else happens. You say, hey, I'm not fully grown as I should be. And so... So when you look at a baby Christian, they're not very discerning. They don't know anything. They'll just eat up anything. And you see them, they are very carnal. The longer they live, the more carnal they get without Scripture. And so they resemble what the world is. They start talking like the world. That's why, you know, don't spend all your time listening to 70s music. You know, you might take one or two of those once in a while. I mean, you know, we're not bashing songs. I like music that are not Christian. I like stuff that, you know, it's not against God. It's not. You know, it's just songs. Songs about experience, right? It's not against God. Some people just absolutely, I will not listen to anything like that. But they listen to all kinds of stuff on the internet that's not Christian. They say, I want a Christian doctor. So it gets even to that point. Anyway, so born again, but still resemble the world. No distinctions or difference between the way they act and the way the world act. So basically, they're acting like the unregenerate. That's what Paul says. That's his account of what the Christians there were like. So it says there that these people, these Corinthians, we're allowing the environment around them to influence them. That can be easily done, both, you know, in ourselves. So, seven things. Let's look at something. Number one, here's an area we all need to, we could grow up in. Number one is learning to forget the past. Okay? Many struggle with their past. Things come up all the time in the past that they might struggle with. And so there are things spiritually that you need to grab a hold of from the Bible that will show you how to deal with your past. Like being a new creature in Christ. Learning that Christ has justified you. Learning that you're righteous right now. No matter how you what you feel like, no matter if you sin, you're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now when you sin, you lose your sense of righteousness. And you feel condemned. Because your spirit on the inside, not the Holy Spirit, your own spirit tells you you're wrong. God, the Holy Spirit, does not condemn you. Your own spirit, your spirit man on the inside of you will condemn you and tell you you're doing wrong. And so a lot of times you don't have to tell people they're doing wrong. They know it automatically on the inside because their spirit's telling them. So it's not our job to go and tell people you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're really bad. You know, that's not our job. Holy Ghost does that. And so that's why it's a bad taste for us to go around evaluating everybody else, taking their inventory, I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. You know, Facebook, okay, let me tell you, everybody there, well, you're wrong. So to get involved in Facebook and telling people they're wrong, you know, you might as well just forget it. fact, here's the rule, the golden rule of relationship is that you have to have relationship with somebody, and the, you know, the how would you say that, the permission for them to talk to you and to correct you. That's what mentorship is all about. You don't go around correcting people because you feel like it because you saw the truth. And it's better when you have a relationship with someone and say, may I just share something with you? Perhaps you don't know this. Maybe you've never noticed that. But here's what I've noticed. And then you tell them what you, how you can help them. Right? Instead of telling, let me tell you how bad you really are. You know, we don't, we shouldn't do that, right? So, but by the way, some people have that honor to do that in your life. Your spiritual mom and dad, your spiritual mentors, your pastor can do that to give you that kind of input in your life. And that's good about coming to church. So, here's Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, New Living. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. We all have to leave our past behind and look forward to the future with the things of God. Never think that you're fully arrived. Paul didn't think he had fully arrived. He said, I press forward, meaning he had some growing to do. He had some growing up to do. To be a good forgetter, leave all your past behind. You know, you cannot continue to look behind and grow properly. You have to deal with your past. Yes, that's been wrong. I committed some crimes. I had this wrong that happened in my life, but God has forgiven me. Yes, I might have a charge forever, but I'm moving on. Okay? People will never forget you, your past. Because when I go home, sometimes people always tell me what I did wrong in my past. And I go home. You're the guy. I know who you are. And because that guy's dead. That Roma that was lived on the res years ago is dead now. God says, I'll never remember your sin anymore. Neither should you. But listen, people are going to do that. They're going to remember. But hey, listen to me. That they don't know any better. So you just go ahead and move on. Amen? And you can't correct them. They'll never understand you. Okay? So just move successfully by not looking at your past and holding it against yourself. You have to forget both the good and the bad. You know, sometimes you meet some old buddy. Hey, remember the time we did this and that? You know? Remember the time we stole that wine and we got drunk together? And if you said, you know what? Listen, John, that man is dead. You're not dead. I'm talking to you. Well, that old guy is back there. He's dead. But I'm brand new. Amen? So Paul says, you know, we're dead. So forget your past mistakes. Sometimes that can be hard, especially when you've had a hard life and you messed up badly and you've hurt people and you've carried these negative thoughts. That's going to be a little bit difficult. That's why you need buddies. You need church people. You need people to remind you constantly that it's possible to grow up. I was at a meeting this week, you know, and I was, a guest speaker to speak at a self-help group last week. And it was good to talk about where I came from a little bit, but I said, you know, that's all gone now, you know, and I'm recovered. And some people didn't like that. Years ago when I went to AA, they tell me, you're not recovered, you're still the same. No, I said, no, I'm recovered. Don't you read the books? It says, when we, those of us have recovered, there's over and over the term is used, recovered. I'm recovered. Now, I wouldn't go out and have a beer and test that out for a while. They said, you know what, I checked it out. I think I'm 45 years. Everybody say 45 years. 45 years I haven't had a drink. I haven't sniffed. I haven't toked. I haven't done any of that stuff. I haven't shoot up. I didn't do any of that stuff. Pretty good, eh? One day at a time. Everybody say one day at a time. You know, I did. It didn't like, you know, all of a sudden 42 years. I mean, I got scars to prove I had 45 years. It took a while. I was telling people, it took me a long time to get over my PSTPP. What is it called? PST? Huh? EESP. What is it called? PTSD. Okay, PTSD. Post-traumatic stress. It means you're just whacked right out. I mean, you're shell-shocked. They got all these new terms every year. They change them, like, you know. But I used to wake up with sweats. In fact, I think a number of years ago, I just wake up just sweating. I'm scared because last night I went out and got drunk. And I'm just so, I woke up and said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I went out drinking. And I said, wait a minute, that was just a dream. But it was so real for me. So real. Amen. So 45 years, how did you do it? One day at a time. Sometimes, I heard one person say, one moment at a time. Just one moment at a time. I will not drink today. Amen. Amen. So you're looking at a winner. Amen. An overcomer. Amen. That's what they look like. Look at me. I'm an overcomer. That's what they look like. Amen. Looks like I never went to detox ever. Amen. I never was in an emergency ward. I never had black eyes. I always remembered where I was. I woke up in the right bed this morning with the right woman. Amen. You know, that's what it's like when you're back over there, right? But I've got to forget all that. But, you know, hey, listen, my past comes up lots of times, but I still have to deal with it after 40 years. You know, like meeting an old girlfriend, right? I know what you did to me, an old boyfriend. You still owe me some money. But, you know, you have to go through that, right? You know, we got to be willing to go through it. So, leave the good old days behind there, and leave the old hurts there. Don't pick them up. And you know, sometimes for us, some of us, when we recovered from that, we just like to sit in our, you know, our chair, turn on the lights, look out the window, and play some 70s. And just cry, think about how bad we had it. You know, I wish somebody would call me today. Right? Just, we used to say, listen to Hank Williams. You're cheating hard. If you had a girlfriend. I don't know what they do today. They sing all kinds of stuff today, right? So leave old hurts behind. So once you confess your sin, 1 John 1:9, if you have a wrong, if you go off course, Jesus is always there as your advocate, the Bible says. He says, when you get into some wrong, he says, hey, Father, I've died for that guy. I know he's having a hard time right now. He has weaknesses. Listen, we're going to let him go by. Amen? Jesus is sitting right there at the Father, and you're out there drinking yet, and you went back after you got saved. Jesus said, I've saved them. My blood cleansed them. Yes, they're out of fellowship right now, but they're coming home. I've set up a plan for them to come home. Amen? So don't you forget when you're out there that God loves you. He'll never stop loving you. Okay, we can just go home right now. We only got 5 minutes for 7 more points. Forgive. Hebrews 8:12 says, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again, everybody say never again, remember their sins. God will never bring up your past and say, look how terrible you've been. Look at, I've forgiven you all this. Look, you go back out there. Look what I've forgiven you. Tom, look at, you doing that again? No, he'll never do that. But the devil will. He said, look at this, guys. Come on here, gang. Look at this guy. He's supposed to be grown up. What kind of Christian is that? That's coming directly from the devil. Or from your best friend. No. Don't trouble with the devil. He'll turn on you so easily. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, New Living. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, We have an advocate, that's our lawyer in heaven, who pleads our case. How many know that Jesus doesn't ever lose a case? Amen? Before the Father, Jesus is the one, he's a truly our righteous one. Right? He'll say, listen, I've forgiven him. I've died for him. Yes, he's out of course right now. He's having a hard time. Yes, he did all that, but listen, he's going to come around here. I know it. Thank God. Amen? Can you say, thank you, Jesus? Well, number two, we're going to finish this in 3 minutes. This is closely related to step one, forgetting the past. We all have to forgive if we're going to grow. Ephesians 4:32 says, instead, be kind to one another. Everybody say, be kind. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know what? We have to extend the same forgiveness Jesus has given us. Give the same person the same opportunity. If they fell off and went against you, just say, you know, in your heart, you're going to forgive them and tell them you forgive them. So let's go here. We should learn to forgive and forget. Forget the past. Jesus said, forgiveness. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 22, Peter came to him. He said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who has sins against me? 7 times? No, 70 times, 70 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. 70 times 7 is what? 495 times. No? Put an extra one in there. 490 times. That's in a day. So no matter what they've done to you, you got to learn to forgive. You know, learn to forgive people. Don't hold it against people. Listen, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to delete people on your Facebook. But that's your opportunity to be a witness to them and to love them, right? Somebody might say all kinds of things. You know, you write something, you have the best heart, your best right intention. And one word gets them mad. Ah, you shouldn't have said that, you know. Ah! And then people say different things. And you don't write things on your Facebook just to get people mad, unless you do. Well, if you do, it's good for you. Maybe somebody needs to tell you. So number three, pray. As a believer, you must learn how to pray. Learn the variety of prayers the Bible teaches. There are principles or laws in the Bible that teaches us the right way to pray. They explain the truth of how prayer works successfully. In Ephesians 6:18, it says to pray all kinds of prayer. You won't be successful and fully mature if you can't pray the various situations. When something comes up in your life, you have to ask yourself, okay, so what kind of prayer fits over here? And then apply that prayer. Don't just pray. You have to figure out what can you use. So when you go to work as a carpenter, you don't just say, just give me any kind of tool. You know? No, you need a specific kind of tool. In my home, we only had 2 tools. I'll let you think about that, because my dad was not a carpenter. I could tell you some funny jokes about that, but I love my dad. I could say that now, you know. If I were a carpenter, and if you were a lady, I'd marry you anyway. You'd have my baby. Don't you hate the song? In 1980s, there was a song by Paul Anka, "You're Having My Baby." Don't you hate that song? Eh? You like want to slap Paul? Paul Anka. Eh? What a lovely way to say how much you love me. You're having my baby. But it's good to remember that. Okay. I know I seem worldly to you, but I'm not. You know, every once in a while, my back comes up. My carnality shows up. And you just saw it. Okay, you holy people. He said, oh, that Brahma Fisher. I knew it all along. Pastor Ken, remember that? What's inside of a feller comes out, doesn't it? Well, I'm not going to teach you how to pray then. What prayer should we use here? The prayer of forgiveness. And you have to come back next time to hear about it. Let's all stand up and start forgiving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God it's over. I was getting deeper into this thing. Vit. You guys better be faster than that. I mean, we take people's inventory all the time. Hallelujah. Father, we want to praise you today that you require all of us to grow. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to remember that it's just such a grace and mercy that you've given us to develop and the chance to grow and to love our brothers and sisters, even though we may be harmful to one another once in a while. But we say, Father, we're growing. We're all in this under construction. We're growing. We're developing all the time. And we might fall. We see each other fall. And we're not going to pull people down when they're down. We're just going to, as the Bible says, put up with one another. Endeavor to put up with one another in the love of God. And so, Father, we thank you for your mercy. Your kindness. You're so kind to us. Thank you for all the wonderful things that Pastor Ken mentioned about a great plan that you have for us. And so we lift up our hands. We say, Father, we give you our lives. We just yield our vessel, our whole spirit, soul, and body to you to use us to be the kind of person that you want us to be. You said in your word that we might be so filled with your Holy Spirit, filled with the knowledge of God, that we might do the kind of things that you want us to do, that you want us to be like. And so, Father, we give you praise for that opportunity again. Thank you so much for your kindness, for your mercy. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. They're growing. We're praying for the growth of everyone in this room, everyone in this church, everyone that is watching. We believe that you're doing it and that the miracle power of God is flowing. Thank you. Let's go ahead and believe God for the miracle power of God to flow. Stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. We pray for those people that are in this room right now that need a miracle. You said all things are possible to them who believe, and we're believers. That's who we are. And so we believe for miracles in the physical realm of their physical bodies. We believe for healing in their mentality, in their relationships, in their finances to turn around, their homes and marriages. We ask the blessing of God who makes us rich and he has no sorrow to it. Thank you for a week coming up ahead and maybe those that are facing hard situations. We ask you that the grace of God that they can stand and be strong during this time. And we pray that your grace will be there for them, that they can do things that they thought they never could do. You're so gracious, Lord God. And we ask for mercy for things that we maybe have are having a hard time with, struggling with. Thank you for forgiving us. We pray the prayer of forgiveness. We say, Lord, forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for the wrongs we have committed. thank you for washing us with the blood of Jesus. And we pray for anyone who's said anything bad about us, anyone who's wronged us. Father, we say we forgive them in the name of Jesus. And we pray for their progress, their success. We ask your blessing upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you. We pray for our nation, Canada, on this first week, Lord God, of this great time. We ask, Lord God, as we celebrated Canada Day, we ask the blessing of God upon our leadership of our nation. Bless our nation. Bless our leaders. Give them wisdom as they deal with different areas. Help us not to be so critical of them. And we know that they're under pressure and making deals and doing different things. They're trying to do things for us. We ask you to bless our local politicians, our MPs, our MMPs, and our local civic leaders. We pray for the incoming mayor. We know our mayor will be giving up his seat. He's not looking for a re-election. And we pray for that one who is coming in. We pray your will and your plan for the new incoming mayor and the new people. As we know, Rebecca Johnson is standing down as a leader in our city, a political leader, our mayor at large. We pray that you would send people in those seats that are people who will be obedient to the word of God. We pray and bless our city and deal with every aspect that has been a hard thing for our city. We pray that our city has been called the murder capital of Canada. We're convincing, Lord God, we're convinced in our hearts that you want this place, a place of peace, a place of growth, a place where people come to get better. And so we come against a spirit that's causing murder and violence. We come against that. We pray that our leadership would know how to deal with that. We pray for homelessness and the recidivism that goes on in this city. Those that are caring for those that are homeless, we pray for them. Those drug addicts, drug pushers, we pray for every one of them. And those drug houses, we pray the will of God, the plan of God. We pray you visit those people right in the drug houses, right in the jails. We pray in the name of Jesus that the word of God will go forth in demonstration. You said that in these last days you'd visit people. We pray against racism and separation. In the name of Jesus, we pray the power of God to come in and settle things. We pray for our local leaders. We pray for Chief Collins of the Fort William First Nation. We ask to bless him in the name of Jesus as he deals with the city of Thunder Bay and his people there on the Fort William First Nation. I pray for my own chief, Judy Dismolin. I ask your blessing upon her life and give her wisdom in the name of Jesus. I pray also for my niece, who is also a chief over at Ginugaming First Nation. I ask you to give her wisdom as she deals and bless all the counselors on board. May the will of God be done. We know they have a hard job, and we pray that every resource will be available, spiritual strength and maturity to come in, and those that are around them will help them send forth laborers into those areas that they'll have help. We give you praise for our great nation. We thank you for it. And those that have never been born again, you call upon the name of the Lord, call upon Jesus, and you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, and say, we love you with the love of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.